Hello, and welcome to another SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm news editor Jeff Kelly. Virtually nobody disputes that data analytics can and usually does lead to improved decision-making. But, according to Accenture consultant Jeannie Harris, a full 40% of organizations still rely on their guts, not analytics, to make important business decisions. Why is that? For one, many companies simply have been relying on gut instinct to make decisions for so long that giving up the habit is easier said than done. And even those that want to make the transition to data analytics often don't know where to start, Harris says. But it can be done. Search Data Management recently sat down with Harris to discuss some of the key benefits of data analytics, how to identify areas in which to get started with analytics, and why she says the unexamined decision isn't worth making. But before we start, here's some more information on Jeannie's background. She is Executive Research Fellow and a Senior Executive at the Accenture Institute for High Performance in Chicago. Jeannie leads the Institute's global research agenda in the areas of information technology, analytics, and talent. In 2009, she received Consulting Magazine's Women Leaders in Consulting Award for Lifetime Achievement. Jeannie is the co-author of Analytics at Work, a how-to guide for helping managers assess their organization's analytical capabilities, provides the tools to build these capabilities, and put analytics to work. Welcome, Jeannie.
Hi.
So at the beginning of your new book, Analytics at Work, you write, sort of paraphrasing Socrates, actually, the unexamined decision isn't worth making. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when we think about how people make decisions, all you have to do is look at the financial meltdown that's occurred over the last couple of years. It's clear that analytics are increasingly important in how people work and make business decisions. The fact is, it used to be that, what did Socrates say? He said the unexamined life isn't worth living. I guess we would say that the unexamined decision isn't worth making, because increasingly it's more and more important that we use the best data, the best information, the best processes we can to make the best possible business decisions.
So maybe you can get into some specifics in terms of the key benefits of analytics. What are the real specific benefits that analytics can deliver to a company?
Benefits of analytics are more important than ever in a number of different areas. First, to help companies identify and seize new opportunities that will give them competitive advantage and differentiation. Secondly, in this economy, as always, it's important to find ways to cut costs and improve efficiency. And optimization techniques and predictive models can help anticipate market shifts, enable companies to move quickly to slash costs and eliminate waste. Also, I think another issue that's particularly important now is analytics can help you manage risk. With more precise metrics and risk management models, managers can make better decisions and monitor changing business conditions more effectively. But always, it's important to use analytics to think about not just what's happened in the past, but also what's coming in the future. And one of the key defining characteristics we find around companies that are very good at analytics is they use it to help them during a downturn to retool, to gain new insights into the new dynamics of the market, the new normal, if you will, and to place their investments in areas so that they're well prepared for when the upturn starts to occur. So I think analytics can give executives insights into the dynamics of their business and how these shifts are going to influence future business performance as opposed to what may have worked well in the past.
Well, that sounds like a very compelling argument. So why do you think, I believe you estimated around 40% of organizations still kind of make decisions based on gut feel. Why do you think that number is still so high?
Well, you know, many years ago there was a retailer named John Wanamaker, and he had a saying. It was 50% of advertising is all wasted. The problem is nobody knows which half. And if you go to business schools today where they teach marketing, people still recite that quote as though it were factual. What people forget is John Wanamaker lived 150 years ago. He did not have computers. He did not have data about his customers. The fact is, anybody who still says that today simply isn't taking advantage of the data and tools that are available. I think for many executives, the way they've grown up in their careers, they've become used to not having the data they need, the timely kind of forward-looking information they need to make better decisions. And so they're simply used to making decisions based on their gut. But today, the fact is, you really can't afford to do that, because increasingly the high-performing companies in virtually every industry are using analytics. And frankly, all the data shows that intuition is nice, but intuition and expert judgment combined with a lot of facts and data allow you to make consistently better decisions.
Give me some advice to companies that are looking to kind of get started with analytics. Obviously, they want to pinpoint areas that they're going to reap the most benefit from analytics. What advice would you give companies looking to kind of identify those areas which can best be served by analytics?
Well, it is important to target the right areas of your business. In fact, in our new book, Analytics at Work, we devote an entire chapter to this topic. Because after all, analytics can be used in every aspect of your business. But the reality is you just have to pick your spots. You cannot make investments across the board, especially when you're just getting started. So there's really a couple of different ways you can find opportunities. And really the most valuable, the most differentiating ones are those that are going to be tied to your industry and your business model and your business strategy. So, for example, if you're in financial services, fraud detection and pricing your products and making sure that you analyze the right customer segments and managing risks are all areas that have the greatest potential for competitive differentiation. But if you look at it from a more tactical point of view, let's say you're not the CEO of a company, then, you know, there's sort of the bottom-up approach, which is what's the most useful application of this data that I currently have or I can get my hands on, and how can I prove the concept by getting started that way. So as a researcher, I always tell people it's best to look for the biggest bang for the buck where you're going to have the greatest potential impact. But the reality is, unlike, say, Harrah's Casino, most of us aren't blessed with a CEO who's got a PhD and taught at Harvard. Most of us have to prove the value of analytics as we go. And for them, it's much better to find a data-rich target that's going to really provide some important and valuable, and I guess I should say actionable, insight and start there.
And what about, management techniques? You write in the book that most analytical firms and managers employ a combination of techniques, both quantitative and qualitative. Can you kind of explain what you mean by that? Maybe give us some examples?
Well, I think that if you think about how let me rephrase that. I don't think that any of us are advocating that all decisions should be made completely by computer or that business can be reduced to a formula. I think that would be naive and foolish. As I said earlier, the key to fact-based decision-making is to use the best possible data and best possible analytical and statistical capabilities in order to inform decision-making. In our research, we found that there's several different modes for doing this. You can, in fact, identify certain classes of business problems, those that have consistent quality data where the factors for making a decision are very well understood and can be reduced to a set of formulas or rules. In a case like that, you actually can automate a lot of that decision-making process. For many more decisions, however, think about somebody like a Harrah's, for example. They can actually automate their yield management system for their hotels because they have a very clearly understood set of rules about how much they charge and under what circumstances for a particular hotel room. On the other hand, if you're a Marriott hotel, you're not going to necessarily want to do that in an automated way, at least not exclusively. So imagine what would have happened if all those refugees from Hurricane Katrina left New Orleans and made it their way to Houston only to find out that Marriott was going to gouge them on the hotel rates because there was a lot of demand. That would never work. And so it's very important that as a manager, you understand where and how to apply analytics to decision making, when it makes sense to have it be more automated, when it makes sense to have more management involvement in the process.
And what about technology? What role do the actual tools that a company selects play in the overall success of analytics?
Well, there's certainly a lot of action going on right now, not the least of which is many software vendors who formerly called themselves something else are suddenly renaming or rebadging themselves as analytics vendors. I think you have to look beyond the labels and really understand who really has the best set of enterprise-wide tools. I think there's a lot of convergence going on in the software market, and it will continue in the software market. And so from an executive's perspective, let's say a CIO or a chief operating officer, you really need to look at which tools are going to be the best part of your suite of tools that's going to help you build a robust analytical capability across the business enterprise. So it's not just about who has the best visualization tool or the best individual data reporting tool or a tool for data cleansing. It's about how do you put these things together in a systemic way so that you have an analytical IT strategy just like you have an overall IT strategy for your transaction architecture.
Okay, great. And finally, you know, we've mentioned some best practices, but what are some, I guess, common pitfalls companies should be aware of as they get started with analytics that they should, you know, try to avoid?
Well, like anything else, I think you can use analytics poorly. You can use it to reach the wrong kind of conclusions. But the reality is everyone uses data to some extent in their decision-making. It's just a question of how well you use it or not. The alternative, really, to using data in analytics, well, what is it, really? It's bias, prejudice, self-justification, hunches. None of those are very satisfactory. But you can definitely find certain patterns of mistakes that people use when they get started using analytics. Some of them relate to logic errors, like not asking the right questions or making bad assumptions and failing to test on those assumptions. But others are just process errors, and those are things that we can use technology to help improve. And by process errors, I mean, for example, we just make careless mistakes. There was a professor in Hawaii who did some research on Excel spreadsheets, and he found an incredibly high number of spreadsheets used in business today have what he would call a fatal error. And that simply means that they transposed numbers or used a multiplication sign when they meant to divide. So those kinds of careless mistakes are certainly one error that you have to be on guard against. But I think in many ways, the more serious ones are not making the right assumptions, not using the right decision-making criteria, gathering data just because it's easy to get as opposed to being valuable to use. Of course, the last one is the alternative. Some people see these issues and say, well, I'll just wait to make a decision until I have all the data available. And, of course, we all know that day will never come. So for managers looking at how they can use analytics more appropriately, in a lot of ways it comes down to being more thoughtful about how they make decisions in their own organization. What is the process by which they make those decisions? And improving that process as much as it is about getting the data in place and the technology. You know, ultimately, the irony of analytics is it's as much as we like to talk about the technology and the math and the data, it really does come down to people. It comes down to leadership and making sure that people make decisions based on facts. It comes down to culture. It comes down to having the best possible analytical talent. So, you know, all of those factors, ultimately, it comes down to people.
Jenny, thanks so much for speaking with us today. I think that was some great advice.
Okay, great. Well, it's my pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Great, and thanks to our listeners. And I do encourage you all to check out Jenny's new book, Analytics at Work, Smarter Decisions, Better Results.